God bless you, dear brethren. Today we will study some very interesting scriptures from Daniel 12. Bless you, Joseph.
Good morning. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Here we are. Yes. So how do we praise the Lord today?
Oh, we praise him by understanding his word and especially the end time prophecies.
Yes.
Now in Daniel 12, there are some mysterious scriptures at the end with some numbers, which I never heard anybody explain that. So I know we did explain it in other languages. We did teach this message. But some brethren are asking in English, can you please give us the message in English? So here we are today, ready to ask you some questions about Daniel 12. And any of you brethren who would like to study more messages about the end time, you're welcome to open our radio page. We have our website, radioblast.net. And there you will find more end time prophecies, messages about evangelization, about spiritual growth, and how to overcome in this end time.
Yes, we have it in different languages. We are here in South America now, and we come from Europe. And there are different languages, German, Spanish, Romanian, Hungarian, Italian, and English. So you can enjoy our accent. We come from different countries of Europe. But good news, there is no overcharge for the accent. It comes for free. We give it as a bonus.
Wonderful.
Well, praise the Lord. We also have a sweet sister, missionary sister, Gloria, who is far away evangelizing and traveling with a team. And she's also in line with us here. She might have some questions.
All right.
So we are here recording a little bit improvised. We're not in the studio room, but it should be coming clear enough. Let's go.
All right.
So Daniel 12. All right. So do you have any questions? Shall I start myself?
I mean, you can start explaining from the beginning to the end. That's a chapter that needs explanation.
Yeah. We don't have this recording in English. So here we go. Try to Lord, help us to make it as short as possible, condensed.
Amen.
All right. God bless all the people sitting here.
Bless you.
Amen. So here we
God
go.
God bless you.
Amen. So let's open Daniel 12:1. It's one of the biggest prophecies about the end time in the Bible. Would you like to read maybe verse 1, please?
Daniel 12:1. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Daniel 12:1.
Okay, so this is the condensation of the whole tribulation. This is when Michael, the archangel...
What is the tribulation here?
The tribulation is here, where he says there shall be a time of trouble.
All right.
Okay, and then he says, Michael will stand up, the defender of your people, the great prince. In fact, he's an archangel. And at the time, Michael shall stand up in Revelation 12, chapter 12, we can see that Michael stands up when the devil gets cast out from heaven. Mm-hmm. That will happen there in the great tribulation when the devil is cast out onto the earth, and he starts the great tribulation. He breaks a 7-year covenant, as you see in Daniel 9:27. So the Antichrist breaks the covenant, and that starts the tribulation for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. What does it say, 3.5 years? Revelation 13:5, Revelation 11. Verses 2 and 3, it talks about 3.5 years of tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Michael stands up to defend the people. Otherwise, the Antichrist will destroy us all. But God provides Archangel Michael to defend us, right? As well as the 144,000, Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 14. The 144,000 will stand up to protect us and to help us in a time when a lot of false Christians, false pastors, false preachers, or false churches will see the mark of the beast. Just like we see today, there are good churches, bad churches, true brethren, false brethren. Okay, so that's what these scriptures are about. And, did you have somebody else?
What does it mean in that book? What book is it talking about?
Yeah, all the people reading in the book. The book is the Bible. All right.
Well, it says your your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book.
Yeah, that's the Bible.
Okay, that's the Bible?
Yeah, because the Bible talks about Jesus saying your names are written in heaven. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, there are many books, okay? In Revelation 20, verse 11 until 15, the books were opened at the white throne judgment. There are many mm-hmm. books. And then, of course, there is the book of the Lamb, Revelation 13, 8, Revelation 17, 8, Revelation 22, verses 24 and 27, it talks about the book of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. So this is the book that we pray, we be invited in. It depends on us, how much of our heart we will give to Jesus.
And so we see here Archangel Michael fighting for the Christians during the time of trouble, which is the tribulation. And what does it mean, your people shall be delivered at that time?
Yeah, that's, let's keep reading, it explains. Look, verse 2 and 3.
And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12, 2 and 3.
Okay, so your question was?
What does it mean in verse 1, at that time your people shall be delivered?
Okay, here it is. In verse 2, it says exactly here, many who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a resurrection. Some to everlasting life and some to everlasting content. Okay, this is the rapture and the resurrection together. So first is the resurrection, then is the rapture, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 to 17, according to Revelation 20, verse until 6. First is the resurrection, and then is the rapture. Got it?
Yes, thank
you. Okay, so that should answer your question. One hand raised over here.
Yeah, I had a question. The second part of verse 1 says, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So basically, after the time of trouble, these people will be delivered, in the sense raptured, or, and in what book? The book of life, book of the Lamb, what?
Yeah, the books are many again. Number one is the Bible, and then in Revelation 20, verse 11, it talks about many books. One of them is the book of life. That's the judgment of the people who don't have Christ. That's after the millennium. The people written the book of the Lamb, Revelation 13:8, 17:8, and Revelation 22, 24, verses 24 and 27, that's the book of the Lamb. So that's where everybody is written who will survive, either in the book of life after the millennium, Revelation 20:11, or in the book of the Lamb, which I give you the scriptures already. So, of course, the ones in the book of the Lamb, as we see in Revelation 20, verse 4 until 6, the ones in the book of the Lamb are raptured after the tribulation. Understand? After the tribulation. In fact, before the millennium, they are sitting on thrones, judging. Judgment was given unto them, like Jesus said in Matthew 19:29-30, you shall judge the tribe of Israel. So Christ will judge the world through his saints. All right, he will judge everything. He will judge the churches. So you will judge the tribe of Israel, Matthew 19:29-30. All right. So more specific than this, I don't want to go, because the Bible doesn't make it more mm-hmm. clear. So I would have to go in the field, in the territory of opinions, which I don't want to do. Okay, I like to teach from scripture to scripture to scripture, not from scripture to opinions. You get lost, but from scripture, and explain the scripture with other scriptures. This is what we're going to do today. That's what I usually do.
But I want to say, we do have a teaching on the difference between the books, because there are many books, like you said, and we have an explanation with scriptures, like what the books are and who belongs to which book. And if you want to get this message, you can write into our email address and I send you the link. It is radioblaststudio@gmail.com.
Amen. Right, dear brethren. We send our Bible course. We have it in Italian, a big Bible course of 5 months. Prophetic teaching Bible course. which we give you for free. People understand Italian. We give everything for free, by the way, okay?
Amen.
The donation are voluntarily, God bless you, but we don't require, we don't ask.
Amen.
We only thank the people who send. All our material, 100% are for free. You can go on our radio page. There is an archive, many languages.
Oh, some 15.
Yeah, okay. So the number one is Italian, of course, and the others are smaller. And you can click, you can download everything, all kinds of stuff, movies, songs, teaching. We have a few thousand different teachings and videos. So the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so far we've been teaching that verse 1 is a tribulation.
Yes.
All right, we can see confirmed by the fact that Michael shall stand up. Mm-hmm. The same Michael, prince of the prince of your people, our prince. God sends Michael as our prince to defend us. He will be the leader, of course, of the 144,000. He will be the leader of the two witnesses, Revelation 11. There are two witnesses. Will proclaim God's truth. And of course, there will be a time when the great tribulation. Jesus said, Matthew 24, 15 until 22, says there shall be great tribulation like never was before. All right. And those days shall not be shortened, and no flesh shall be saved. Those days will be shortened to the length of 42 months, 1,260 days, tribulation. And this is what this is about. And then verse 4, can you read verse 4, Angie?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Daniel 12:4.
Yes, and also verse 9, please.
And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Daniel 12:9.
So this is why people read the prophecy they don't understand. Until now, it was understandable that nobody understood that we're sealed. But now, in the end time, these words are being opened. Holy Spirit is opening to us. So once we teach these things, everybody with the Holy Spirit should be able to understand. Christian without the Holy Spirit, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, of course, Christian who is saved, he will have a portion of the Holy Spirit. But Christian without the baptism overflowing of the Holy Spirit will have a very hard time understand everything. Mm-hmm. So I counsel all the brethren to please get on your knees every day, pray for the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You need him.
Amen.
So pray for the Holy Spirit. It will guide you. It will be your guidance. John 16:13. It will guide you into all truth and will show you things to come like we're doing today. I can teach you these things, all right? By the Holy Spirit, I can teach you these things, these mysteries. But if you don't receive them with the Holy Spirit, okay, I give it to you, but you cannot decipher. You cannot decode. Mm-hmm. You'll understand limited. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so we can proceed here. We understood everything. We read verse 2 until 3. And he says that the sleep and the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame, everlasting contempt. In other words, at the rapture, they're going to be the Christian of the so-called Church of Philadelphia. So-called. These are the Christians who are faithful. The Bride of Christ, as we symbolically say. Mm-hmm. But there is also a church similar like the Church of Smyrna, of Pergamo, and others. Particularly, there will be also churches like the Sardis, Revelation 3:1. That's the dead church. And then the church of Laodicea. The church of Laodicea will be raptured. Why? Because they are saved. Nevertheless, these are the churches that were ashamed of Jesus, and the Lord will be ashamed of them. But they will be raptured because they are saved. Uh-huh. The saved people who are saved, but they were ashamed of Jesus, they will be raptured, mm-hmm. but not to go to the crown. They will go to,
it says everlasting shame and contempt in verse 2.
Yeah, like Jesus said, the church of Laodicea, Revelation 3, verse 14, they will be, they will vomit it out. And there'll be churches that's going to happen. the Lord help us that we can be in the Philadelphia. But that it depends on how much of our heart we decide to give Jesus. If we are true Christian or fake, if we are nominal Christian, that we believe in Jesus just enough to be saved, and then we warm up, we spend the rest of our life to warm up a church bench and just be like sitting like parrots, repeating whatever. So we need to be, but we want to be active. We want to be the Church of Philadelphia. We want to be the Bride of Christ. All right.
Amen.
But that depends on us.
Amen.
How much of our heart we will give Jesus.
Amen.
Amen, Gloria?
Amen.
Amen.
A question we have from Jasmine.
The Book of the Lamb is those who are saved, or anybody who's saved, or the Bride of Christ?
Well, the Bible doesn't give a big differentiation here, but I can tell you what my interpretation. I believe the Book of the Lamb are the Bride of Christ. That's what I believe. Okay, we also see in 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3, I believe, Paul says, I recommend you, shall we go there and read it? Exactly what he says. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 2, 11, verses 2 and 3, please. You want to read it?
2 Corinthians 11, 2. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3.
So here we see a church, the Corinthians, that some, are potential for the Bride of Christ, other potential to be deceived by the devil. In other words, all the churches of the world, I'm talking about the church of Christians, they're divided between those Christians who love Jesus and love the Lord and love the Word and obey the commandments to the best they can. Not perfectly, nobody is perfect. It's not a matter of how much you do for the Lord. It depends on how lovingly you do for the Lord. In other words, there can be two Christians, both of them with 5 talents each, and they both produce the same work. I don't know, just an example. You lead 5 souls to the Lord. It's just an example. In a month, you led 5 souls to the Lord, for example. Okay, one does it full heart, full of love. The other does it half a heart. He could do more, but he thinks five are enough. So we have a Christian who does miracles and casts out devils, all right, but half a heart. But nevertheless, he has the Holy Spirit, and he does it. And then there are Christians who bring the same fruits, but full heart, and that's all he could do. Well, that's the Bride of Christ. But the half a heart to produce the same works is not, because the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at your love. So both Christian, both with the Holy Spirit, but one is full love and full heart and full blast. Mm-hmm. Full blast for Jesus. The other is half a heart. He could do more, but he stops at 5 souls. Give the salvation of Jesus to 5 souls. He could do 6. Mm-hmm. These are just examples, okay? But he said, no, 5 are enough. The other guy, the same amount, 5 souls, but that's all he could do for Jesus. So that's the Bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. This is my opinion. You don't have to take it with any dogmatism, but that's the way I see it. So your question was exactly?
That the Book of the Lamb is more like for anybody who's saved, like Laodicea, Philadelphia, anybody, or is it like for the Bride of Christ, Philadelphia?
Well, yeah. But I think this scripture, answers 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3. I'm jealous. We got the jealousy. I betrothed thee to one husband that I may present. It's not guaranteed. I may present as a chaste virgin. Lest somehow as a servant deceive Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted. So here we have a church, Corinthian, and they have a choice. They can be a chaste virgin. Okay, he's talking especially in the spirit. both physically but spiritually. All right, chaste virgin. Oh, but then he said, be careful lest the serpent deceives you. So the Corinthians could be chaste in the spirit and also physically. They could be, or they could be deceived by the serpent. Christian, deceived by the serpent. Got it? Okay, a good scripture which I already gave, I think I said Revelation 22:24-27. It's actually Revelation 21:21-27. Can you read it, Angie, verse 27?
Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Okay, so this is Revelation 21. He's talking about New Jerusalem coming down from heaven, but nobody can go in except those who are in the book of the Lamb.
So this is the bride?
Yeah, because he says, I saw New Jerusalem coming down like a bride.
Wow.
All right, so... like I said before, I repeat, I believe, it's pretty clear in the Bible, that those in the book of the Lamb, that's the bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. And the other are just Christians. They don't go to hell. They go to heaven. They get a crown, but not a crown of bride. They're great. Get whatever crown God decides to give according to how faithful everyone has been, who little, who more. Like Jesus said in Matthew 13, the good seeds produces fruits, 60, 90, 100. So I decide to give Jesus as little as possible of my time, my heart, my love, as little as possible, just enough to get saved. I give him 10%, 5%, 30%, whatever. But the bride gives 100%. It doesn't mean it works more. Even though that it's usually the case.
Yes.
But because, like I said, one can be crippled and he can work for Jesus so many hours a week, I don't know, so many minutes. Another is not crippled, but he doesn't put his heart. So he could dedicate to Jesus this much a week. He dedicates less. Why? He's half a heart. Another one, an example, is crippled. An example, just thrown there. And he could dedicate to Jesus so many hours a week, so many. And he gives that full heart. But he produces less mm-hmm. than the other guy who gives more with half a heart. You follow? Yes. So it's not like Ephesians 2:8-9. It's not by works. It's by full your love, heart. Full heart.
Yes.
Yeah. Like it says in Matthew 22:37. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, all.
Amen.
And after you give all, it's still less than somebody gives more, but half a heart. So you are in the book of the Lamb, giving less than somebody who's not the book of the Lamb, and giving more. If all it depends all on your heart, like it says in 1 Samuel 16:7 says, don't look at the appearance. That was Eliab, big wardrobe of a guy. Samuel said, for sure, this is the king of Israel. And God said to Samuel, don't look at the appearance, for I have rejected them. For God doesn't look at the appearance. God looks at the heart. Keep looking. You'll find the right one. He found David afterwards. Yes, Gloria.
You said it's not by works. But the bride of Christ is not according to the works you do for Christ, rewards and everything?
Yes, but it's not by works who does, like in the world, you work more, you get more money, you work less, you get less money. See, for God looks at our heart, like I said. You can produce less, much less. Maybe you are in prison. Maybe the Antichrist puts you in prison and you are there in chains, whatever. Mm-hmm. What can you do? Nothing. But if you're able to witness to a guard, you'll witness to a guard with your whole heart. Another guy can go in the streets. He can do this. He can do that. And maybe we'll cast out devil. Maybe we'll do miracles. But in Matthew 7:21-23, Jesus says, I never knew you. Get out of here. Depart from me. And maybe the guy cast out devil, he did the healing, he did the miracles, and the guy in prison, he could only witness to one guard, five mm-hmm. guards. Mm-hmm. He could only witness to two, three prisoners and get them saved. But that's all he could do. Amen.
In other words, it's by works, but they have to be motivated by love.
Yeah. Like,
it repeats
seven times in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3. I know your works.
Yes,
I know your works.
Yes.
So works in Christ are indispensable. Okay? Even though we are saved by grace and not by works, yet, if you are truly saved, you present the works. If you could do works in Christ, but you don't, then you're not blessed in heaven. But the works you can do in Christ, you should do, whether they're little or much.
You're saying it's not a competition who does more works. That's not the case.
No.
It's like the obedience that you put in, the obedience of your heart.
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly. So anyway, I wanted to carry on here with the message in Daniel 12. So, let's see, verse 11 and 12. Angie, would you like to read that?
Daniel 12, 11 and 12.
Okay, here, attention. Here, the Lord is giving us the number of the days. Well, this is a teaching, unfortunately, you don't find anywhere on the internet. Very sad. I'm sure some other people will know, you are not the only one, but you don't find it. I never found it anywhere.
Yes.
It's very sad because in this prophecy here, God, all right, will give us the number of the days. How long is the tribulation? How long is the wrath of God? How long is the battle of Armageddon? So, but separated by days, you cannot make a mistake. Because in those days, in the great tribulation, which I believe the church will go through, like it says in verse 1, when Michael stands up, in those days you'll be counting the days, maybe the hours. And some people are going to be tortured. They're going to be in prison. Some lots of Christians from lots of churches, they're going to receive the mark of the beast. They're going to be Christian parents. Just like today, they have children who smoke, take drugs, etc. You know, they're going to be children who will be taking the mark of the beast. They don't care their parents are Christian. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, shall we go with the scripture?
Yes. Daniel 12:11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days.
Okay, so this is 1,290 days. Go to the 12.
Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days.
All right. So, one more scripture, verse 7.
Verse 7. Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river.
Excuse me, can you start the scripture before? Sorry.
Verse 6.
Yes, please.
And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be?
So here Daniel gets specific. Hey, how long this is going to last? So here is the answer, verse 7, by this angelic creature.
Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time.
That's 3.5 years, okay? It's the same way that this is old Hebrew, okay? But you see, you even find in the Greeks, the Greek translation of the New Testament, Revelation 12, verse 14, you see this time, times, and half a time. So time, 1 year, times, 2 years, and half a time. So here you get the 3.5 years, all right? So he's saying here, did you finish the scripture?
No.
Here you get the length of the tribulation, okay?
And when the power of the holy people shall be completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Daniel 12:7.
Attention. It says that these things shall be finished, like these 3.5 years, only after the power
of
the holy people
shall be
completely shattered. Other Bible says destroy it. Okay, then after the power of the Christian churches shall be destroyed completely. So, okay, some church will be into hiding. We're going to hide. Revelation 12:14, the woman flees into the wilderness. Okay.
And those won't be destroyed?
No, the woman will not be. Will be protected for 3.5 years. Revelation 12:14. No. Do you have any questions?
Yes. I had a question. When are you supposed to start calculating these days?
Very good question. So now we have here the number of the days. We said, so verse 7, it says 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
3.5 years, all right, it's 1,260 days. Because it's not a, here we're using a prophetic calendar, which you find only in the Bible. Because in the world, what did God do that? Because in the world, everybody has a different calendar, okay? Okay, there was the Julian calendar, and then in the fifth century A.D., Pope Gregory, he made a new calendar, all right? And it's called the Gregorian calendar, which we have today. And the Gregorian calendar is 365 days, as everybody knows. Well, in the Bible, God put a different calendar because of the present-day confusion of the calendars. God put a new calendar, okay? And this calendar is used only for the prophecy, okay? It's a calendar of 360 days, not 365,
mm-hmm.
but 360. It's made by months of 30. How do we know that? We know that the most clear scripture is Revelation 11, 2 and 3. It says that he talks about the tribulation, the beast, the Antichrist, and the two prophets. And he said, they shall be a witness. They shall testify. Do you want to read it, or shall we read it directly?
Okay, yes.
Okay, let's go to Revelation. Revelation, here it is. 11, 2 and 3, please.
Revelation 11, 2. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. So, Revelation 11, 2 and 3.
So here you see the 42 months are actually 1,260 days. So, which is the same length, all right, that we see in Daniel 12:7.
A time and times and half a time.
Which is 3.5 years. Which is 3.5 years. Break it down. 42 months, 1,260 days. Nothing to do with our calendar.
Yes.
It's a calendar that's used only in the Bible. Why? Because of the confusion of the calendar. God made up his own calendar. So you can calculate the 70th week of Daniel 9. Mm-hmm. 24 until 27, you can calculate the 70th week of Daniel 9, 27. You can calculate everything by months of 30 days and years of 360 days. So you multiply like 360 days by 3 years and a half, and you get exactly 1,260 days. Got it?
Yes.
All right. So now your question is, when do we start? What was your question?
When do we start?
When do we start calculating all these numbers?
Yeah, it's a very intelligent question. Thank you. So God hasn't told us yet. That's one secret, one prophecy that God, the Holy Spirit, has not revealed to anybody yet.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in the world knows when do we start. Because once you have the key and you have the starting point of these days, then you know everything. Then you know exactly when Jesus comes back. Well, see, but God hasn't told us.
That's not bad, huh?
When Jesus comes back. In Daniel 12:1, there is a tribulation, right? And he says that the holy people we go through it. It's at that time, say there shall be a time of great trouble. All right. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. But attention, deliver when? Deliver, verse 7, Daniel 12, 7, it says, when the power of the holy people shall be completely shattered, then all these things shall be finished.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, after 3.5 years, when shall the power of the holy people be shattered? After 3.5 years.
At the end of the tribulation.
Yes. So it shows here that the rapture is not before, but it's after. Contrarily to common opinion,
mm-hmm,
contrarily to Tim LaHaye and Left Behind, wonderful movie. But to understand the chronology, you better watch the part 2 and 3 first, And third, you have to watch part one. And then you get the right chronology. I'm sorry.
That's a funny way to watch movies.
I'm sorry, but Tim LeHaye, a great movie producer, a great Christian, he didn't understand this prophecy.
Yeah.
And neither do like most of the churches who, this little bit here, they have it wrong. Why? Because it does not go with the prophecy. It does not go with the scripture. And I have many more scriptures to give you, Matthew 24, Revelation 11, 12, and 13, and Revelation 17, and especially Revelation 14, which first is the harvest, okay, the harvest of the Christians, okay. First is the tribulation, Revelation 14, tribulation. Then you see the harvest of the Christian rapture, and then you see the harvest, second harvest, that is Armageddon. Yes.
So what are these numbers representing here? Because the only one we understood, it's verse 7, Daniel 12, where it says, a time, times, and half a time, it's 1,260 days, which is the tribulation. And then the other numbers we read in verse 11 and 12, what are they?
Okay, let me explain that. Read Daniel 12, 11.
And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days.
Okay, so your question would be?
We just saw 1,260 days of tribulation. So what is this 1,290 days?
This is 1,260 plus 30.
Yeah, thank you. That I can realize. But what does it represent?
Right, the mystery is not over.
There's another number coming.
There's another number.
Verse 12.
There are no lottery numbers either. 12.
Blessed is he who waits and comes to 1,335 days.
Ask, what is this?
What is it? Help.
This is another 45 days.
Thank you. That's a little math. But what does it mean biblically?
Actually, if you have the key, it's not difficult to understand. I'm coming. The number one, you have to divide this in three numbers. First number, you divide, you write down 1,260, and you write tribulation. Second number, you write 30 days. 30 days, yes. Another number, you write 45.
All right.
So these are the numbers we see in Daniel 12. What's this mystery? Everybody understands about 1,260. What are these 30 plus 45? Mm-hmm. Well, to answer this, we need to go to the book of Revelation, all right? The book of Revelation, there are three major events. Well, if you start from the, let me see, the rapture, and then Revelation 15, 1 begins the wrath of God, and Revelation 19, it begins Armageddon. So the three major events is after the tribulation I'm talking about. After the tribulation, there are three events. One is the rapture. And then there is another event. What is that? The wrath of God. And then there is Armageddon. So the tribulation, you see it in Revelation 13, the beast for 42 mm-hmm. months.
Yes, yes.
Revelation 13, 5, 42 months. That's first event, 1,260 days. Okay, and then there is the next event, is the rapture at the end. How do you know it's the end? Is it my opinion? No, it's not my opinion. It's everywhere in the Bible. Everywhere in the Bible. Okay. For example, in Revelation 11, okay, you see that the two witnesses, they testify for 3.5 years. They are killed by the beast. Verse 7, Revelation 11, 7. Killed by the beast. They are dead when? After they finish their testimony.
At the end of their testimony.
At the end of the testimony. That's after 42 months. So it's after the,
Yes.
They are killed. And after they are killed, okay, Revelation 11, 7, you carry on, and then what happens? In verse 13, there is a voice that tells the two witnesses, come up here. So they go in heaven. All right, and that's the resurrection. Yes. After the 3.5 years.
Verse 12, yes.
12?
Yes. Yeah. Revelation 11, 12.
Yeah. So after they are killed, Revelation 2, verse 12, chapter 11, there is a voice that says, come up here. And that's the resurrection.
After. And they ascend to heaven in a cloud.
Yeah.
That's the rapture. That's obvious.
This is not the rapture.
In a cloud they go to heaven.
No. This is not the rapture.
And what is it?
No. Go to Revelation 20, from 4 until 6. So verse 4, read verse 4. 20
verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years.
Okay, what is this?
This is the martyrs who are reigning with Christ.
Yeah, what period?
I don't know.
The tribulation. You see, the mark of the beast.
After the tribulation.
This is the tribulation. Yeah, okay. This is the tribulation depicted. I saw thrones that are set on them.
Yes.
Those who got the victory over the mark of the beast and his image.
Yes.
So this is the tribulation. All right.
They overcome in the tribulation and are taken to heaven.
Yes. So is this a tribulation, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, a tribulation.
Yes.
And then what do you see in verse 5?
But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection.
Okay, okay. So now is the first resurrection. This guy is sitting here on thrones. They represent the first resurrection. You follow?
Yes.
And then verse 6?
Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Okay. So, now we go back to Revelation 11. Then we see verse 12. It says, come up here.
Yes.
Verse, okay. And they raised. This is not the rapture. This is the resurrection. They are dead.
Yes.
Okay, they're not alive. We that are alive and remain shall be raptured alive. No, These are dead. So they raise as a resurrection, because the resurrection is before the rapture. But just a second, hang on.
Yes.
And then after we see the resurrection here, we see, where do we see the rapture? Verse 15, carry on.
Revelations 11, yeah. 15.
11, 15. Okay.
Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 11, 15.
Okay, so why is this the rapture? Well, because if we go to, let me go to 1 Corinthians 15 here. If you go to 1 Corinthians 15, please read the scripture 51 and 52.
1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Okay. Revelation,
1 Corinthians 15,
51 and 52.
51 and 52.
So do you understand? It says, we shall be changed at the sound of what trumpet?
The last trumpet.
Now you go back to Revelation 11, verse 15, and the seventh trumpet, you see, Revelation, let me go there, Revelation 11, 15. Now read it again now.
And the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of
our
Lord.
So this is the rapture, the seventh trumpet. Mm-hmm. What you saw in verse 12, Revelation 11, 12, is the resurrection. All right. And like it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 15 to 17, it says, first the resurrection, the
dead,
and then we shall be raptured.
All right, yes.
Do I need to read it or you believe me?
No, that's all right.
All right. So it's really like that. So this thing, this myth, it's a myth that Tim LaHaye and his movies are, we're not going to be raptured before the tribulation. Yeah, but I don't like to go to the tribulation. Mm-hmm. Neither did all the people of God that went through that tribulation. 430 years prisoner in Egypt, 70 years prisoner in Babylon. So people of God, they've been through every tribulation. Got it?
Yes.
So praise the Lord. Now, if we go back here where we were, now we begin to understand a little better. So again, I repeat, these days begin clicking after when? This is another Bible teaching here. It's too long to get into this. But in Daniel 8, which we can teach another time, it talks about the construction of the temple. So the Antichrist, when he comes, it will be the temple. And we know that also by 2 Thessalonians 2, that he sits in the temple of God, saying he is God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we see that in Daniel 9:27, that the Antichrist will break the covenant and will stop the daily sacrifice. Where? The daily sacrifice can only happen in the Jewish temple. They are not allowed to offer a sacrifice without temple. And that's why they've been 2,000 years without sacrifice.
Without animal sacrifice.
Without animal sacrifice. Yeah, thank you. You got it? So as soon as they build the temple, because they will build the temple, they make an agreement. Israel, Palestinians, Islam, Russia, America, whatever. There's going to be a bunch of guys there. Make an agreement. But that will happen when the Antichrist comes. The Antichrist will be part of the dealing here.
Yes.
Okay. He will make, it says in Daniel 9:27, he says he will make a holy covenant for 7 years. Okay. And so when he makes a holy covenant, by all appearance, okay, that's when the temple is made. One day we make a teaching on Daniel chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. And there we'll see exactly how construction of the temple is made. So once the temple is made, begin 7 years of covenant, daily sacrifice. Daniel 11:31, he breaks the covenant, but also Daniel 9:27, he breaks the covenant. And then what happens? Daniel 9:27 breaks the covenant, and he continues into Daniel 11:31. What does it say? After he breaks the covenant, he will place the abomination of desolation, which Jesus says in Matthew 24:15-21. When you see the abomination of desolation placed in the holy place, okay, of which Daniel spoke. Okay, I know some Bible say that's Antiochus, it's in the past. Those Bible interpretations are wrong. Okay, Jesus said. Who said this wrong? Jesus. What did he say? When you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, then flee. Why? Matthew 24:21, because then shall be great tribulation.
So Jesus said it in the future, when Antiochus lived before Jesus.
Yeah, Antiochus lived.
That's why Jesus proved it wrong.
Yeah, Antiochus lived before the birth of Christ, so that Jesus put it in the future. I know some Bible interpret Antiochus. Those Bible interpretations are wrong.
Yes.
So to answer John's question, he was asking, when do you start calculating the days? You start calculating the days when they sign the covenant. In Daniel 9:27, the Antichrist will sign. He said, "says he shall make a covenant with many for 1 week. That's 7 years. And in the middle of the week, he shall cause an abomination, etc." Continuation you see in Daniel 11:31. He, the Antichrist, shall place the abomination of desolation, which Jesus says in Matthew 24:15-21, he says, when you shall see the abomination that Daniel spoke, then shall be great tribulation. Got it? Okay, so when you see the signing of the covenant, you start counting the days.
How many you count?
And so, well, we know that the tribulation is 1,260 days.
Yes.
That's the middle of the week, the middle of the 7 years. So the middle means that first you see the first 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 42 months of covenant. And there is the sacrifice, etc. Build temple construction. We'll be studying another day this in Daniel chapter 8. So he breaks the covenant in the middle. That means 42 months passed, and there is another 42 months to go, and that's the Great Tribulation.
Yes.
With the abomination of desolation.
The last 42 months is the Great Tribulation.
Yes. So you went through 7 years, okay, which are 2,520 days, divided in half is 2 times 1,260.
Mm-hmm.
84 months, 2 times 42 months. You are at the end of the 7-year covenant. Got it?
Yes. So the 1260 days of tribulation, you start counting them in the middle of the 7 years when they break the covenant.
1206, yes. 42 months, yes. So now we go through the first number, which was Daniel 12:7, three years and a half. How long will be these things?
In other words,
the tribulation you see in Daniel 12:1, where Michael stands up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got the first number.
Yes.
Explain. Now you get a second number, and that's Daniel. We read Daniel 12:11,
mm-hmm.
which gives you another number, 1290. This is 30 days more of the 42 months, correct?
Yes.
So what are these 30 days? After the rapture, after Revelation 13, the 42 months of the tribulation, there is a period which is called the wrath of God. Okay. After Revelation 13, the tribulation, after Revelation 14, which you see the first you see the tribulation, chapter 14, and then you see the first harvest, which is the Son of Man that comes on a cloud, and that's the rapture. And then you see the second harvest, okay, which the grapes have been harvested. But this harvest, they take the grapes and they put them in the wine press of the wrath of God.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation 14.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so these are the events. And then we enter Revelation 15 after the grapes are put
mm-hmm.
in the wine press
of
the wrath of God. Okay, so Revelation 15, 1 and 2, okay, it says, I saw in heaven them that got the victory on the beast, the mark of the beast. In other words, the tribulation is past. Now you see in heaven the victors, the saints who are victorious.
Who were raptured.
Were raptured, of course, in... We say then.
They were raptured at the end of the tribulation.
The chapter before, the first harvest,
the
being harvest. Second harvest is Armageddon, is the wrath of God. So now we enter into Revelation chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. Here there are seven angels that bring the wrath of God,
mm-hmm.
it says. We can read it, but that's what it says. And then these two chapters, 15 and 16, it's all about the wrath of God. So these are the 30 days. And then when you reach the seventh vial of wrath, at the end of Revelation 16, okay, then it says God remembers Babylon. And then there is a great earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
There is hail. Everyone is one talent. That's 30, 50 kilos each. And then there is the remembrance. God remembers Babylon, which I believe is America, all right? America and leading the capitalistic parts of the world. So that gets destroyed. America gets destroyed, Revelation 17 and 18. And then he continued the wrath of God. He continued to Revelation 19,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that is Armageddon, all right? So far we have 1260,
yes.
which was Daniel 12:7. And then we have 30 days, okay, which is Daniel 12:11. You know, it says 1290, it's 3.5 years plus 30 days. So tribulation, 30 days of wrath of God,
mm-hmm.
follow. And then we go to the end of the wrath of God, okay. And the wrath of God ends with the mighty destruction of the Antichrist, Gog and Magog, okay, and the armies that follow him. You can see that in Revelation 19, 11 until 21.
Mm-hmm.
So you got 1260 days, 3.5 years tribulation. You get 30 days wrath of God, and then you get 45 days in the Armageddon. In Daniel 12, 11 and 12, you get all that. 1290 days, which is the tribulation plus 30 days of wrath. And then it says, verse 12, blessed is he that makes it until 1,335 days. And that is 3.5 years plus 30 days plus 45. You reach 1,335 35 days, including the tribulation, wrath of God, and Armageddon.
I understand, yes.
But in verse 12, it says that blessed is the man who waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. So why is he blessed if the rapture is past?
Correct. That's a very smart question.
Why is he blessed?
Our students.
He missed the rapture.
On the ball. He missed the rapture. That's really Tim Lehi left behind. Now, these are the people that when the rapture came, okay, they were not saved. Got it? So they're going to get saved the same way Abel gets saved. The same way Abel, Enoch. The same way a lot of people in the Bible, they get saved because how did Abraham got saved? Who preached the gospel to Abraham? He got saved by the Holy Spirit, by God.
Oh.
So after the rapture, contrary to common opinion, wrong, the grace of God and the Holy Spirit of God didn't go on vacation. He's still here. In fact, as strong as ever, because the whole church, all right, the 144,000, the two winners, they're all get resurrected or raptured. There are not any more saved. There are no saved left to be raptured. So they're going to be people who maybe for political reason, they refuse the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
But now they see that the rapture happened, wrath of God. Babylon is destroyed. And after Babylon is destroyed, Antichrist, that's it, doesn't have any more opponents. That's when he says, okay, I'm sitting here in the temple of God, I'm God. All right, and we see in Zechariah 14, that Israel gets invaded by the Antichrist. Okay, he brings his army in a valley called Esdraelon, which is near Nazareth, north of Israel. And then he conquered Jerusalem. Okay, so these people, or maybe in the midway got saved. Maybe they got saved. Just like in the Left Behind of Tim Lehi, they find the Bible. They realize they are left behind because they were not saved. And so they just cry up to God and they get saved. Okay, so these people, they are there watching the wrath of God. They are there watching after the rapture. They are watching Battle of Armageddon, which is 30 plus 45, 75 days. But they got saved in the meanwhile. By who? Uh-huh. By the Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
So God is telling them, blessed is he that waits and come to the 1,335 days, because at the end of that, it is the end of Armageddon. At the end of that is the beginning of the millennium. Uh-huh. Understand?
So because they resist until then, they are blessed.
Yeah, in other words, don't take the mark of the beast. Resist. Don't give up hope. Resist. Remain in your cave.
All right.
Remain in your jungle. Remain in your Amazon jungle. Remain on a mountain, whatever, Colorado Mountain, in Mount Blanc, in Europe, or wherever you are. Keep hiding. Keep eating the roots of the tree. Keep eating mushrooms. Be careful which ones.
One question, how come it takes 45 days of Battle of Armageddon when Jesus could annihilate the Antichrist with one breath?
Yeah, he could do like Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
Because sometimes God does things for a reason. He wants to see, somehow, he wants to make sure he kills them one by one. In fact, the Battle of Armageddon is explained in details in the first part of Joel chapter 2. It talks about the angel arriving from heaven and... Sometimes God operates like Sodom and Gomorrah, whatever, volcano, whatever he wants to do. Another time, God in his wisdom, he sees fit that the Antichrist and his heirs, they deserve to be killed one by one. That's the vengeance of God, vengeance.
Mm-hmm. All right, so to conclude, in Daniel 12, we see the Great Tribulation, 1,260 days. And then we see another 30 days in verse 11, Yes. And then in verse 11, we see another 30 days, which is the wrath of God after the tribulation and rapture.
Yeah.
And then in verse 12, we see another 45 days, which is the Battle of Armageddon. Blessed is he who resists until the end.
Yeah, Revelation 19:11.
Another question also is, Babylon is destroyed at the end, in the end, the last trumpet in God's wrath, the seventh trumpet. And also Armageddon starts at the seventh trumpet. Now, the Bible also says that the whole world will wander after the Antichrist. That has to be after Babylon is destroyed. And then in between Babylon being destroyed and Armageddon starting, how many days do you think are in between?
Yeah, it's quite a good question. In other words, how long is a kingdom of the Antichrist all over the world? Well, it's actually very short. Of course, he will have a total control in Magog, which is Russia and Europe.
But he's only 42 months, his kingdom?
Yeah, but in the area where he controls, but not all over the world.
Yes.
Because, you see, in Revelation 13:3, all the world wandered after the beast. You see, Book of Revelation is not always chronological.
Yeah, but
you,
also
need, you 13... need to, that scripture, Revelation 13:3, all the world, actually, you should be put at the end of Revelation 18, after he destroys Babylon, after the 30 days of wrath of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that scripture goes at the end of the wrath of God.
Because
toward the end, it says all the world wandered after the beast.
Yeah, because they say who can make war with him, and otherwise, obviously, that one can.
Yeah, very good. In fact, it says in Revelation 13, who can make war against him? So that is definitely after the tribulation, after the destruction of Babylon, Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Because until he destroys Babylon, which I believe is America, he doesn't control the whole world. He doesn't control America.
But when it says he was given authority to continue for 42 months, doesn't it mean he has power?
Yeah, not all over the world. He will influence all the world, but doesn't have total control. It's kind of like Hitler. He was given power for 7 years to make war for seven years, Hitler. But he didn't have... He had authority over his territories, like in half of Europe, most of Europe, but not all over the world like he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So the Antichrist will have authority 42 months, but it doesn't say authority 42 months all over the world. It says he was given authority for 42 months.
Because in this 42 months, Babylon is still around fighting wars against the Antichrist.
Yeah, we see in Daniel 11 from 21 until 45, which is the story of the Antichrist, he fights five wars, and he wins four. Plus, after these five wars, in Revelation 17, there is a war number six against Babylon, which he wins. And then there is the war number seven, which is Revelation 19:11, which that is against God, against Jesus, against the bride of Christ, that come on white horses. Okay, and that one is destroyed. And Revelation 19:20 is cast alive with the false prophet, this religious guy, into the lake of fire. So how long does he rule all over the world? Revelation 13:3.
Mm-hmm.
All the world wandered after the beast. Yeah. That will have to be after he destroys Babylon, America, and all his enemies. After he finish fighting the five wars.
Yes.
Daniel 11 and also Revelation 17. After that, he rules the whole world, Revelation 13:3. All the world
wandered. Jesus comes.
All the world wandered after the beast. But until then, he rules only in the nations that he controls, basically Magog, Europe, Russia, and maybe most of the Middle East, like Iran, etc.
So how long is that? Considering there is the rapture, the wrath of God starts, Babylon is destroyed, and here the Antichrist controls the whole world, until Armageddon, how long is this?
Well, first have to pass the 42 months, he doesn't control the whole world. And then there is the wrath of God, 30 days, he doesn't control the whole world, until the vial number 7. Revelation 16.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the destruction of Babylon is part of the seventh, of the vial of wrath number 7. He destroys Babylon. And before Armageddon starts, the 45 days, he still have to finish the 30 days of wrath. Because Babylon gets destroyed in 1 hour, in 1 day.
Yeah.
It's a blitzkrieg. Okay, so as soon as Babylon is destroyed, there are a few days. It could be 2, 3, 4 a week.
That's all.
I don't think it's more than that.
But that's great.
Well, that's great, yeah, if you're not in Europe, yeah. As soon as Babylon is destroyed, he invades Israel. Because then Israel doesn't have any more the defense of America to defend Israel. So he can invade Israel, okay? That invasion of Israel is only after he destroys America. And then he can invade Israel. And then we see Zechariah chapter 14 comes into action.
Mm-hmm.
Zechariah 14, Antichrist invades Israel. And then in Zechariah 14, you see also the beginning of the millennium. So he invades Israel. God steps in. All right, Armageddon. You can see the people being killed in Zechariah 14. And then it says, of all the nation that came against Israel and that survived, they will have to come to Jerusalem, humble themselves, worship God. And that's the millennium. All right, since there are no more questions, we can close here. And we can say goodbye, including our sweet missionary, Gloria Dora, that is online. God bless you, Gloria, for following. Okay, you have two names, Gloria and Dora. We pray for you and we bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless all the dear brethren.
Amen. With this, we can close. I try to make it as fast as possible. But faster than this, people are not going to believe all this stuff.
True, yes,
I need to give scripture and scripture. Otherwise, I don't want to be my stupid opinion.
In fact, there is much more we can explain and scriptures we can give. If you, brethren, want to write in, we can send you more links and teachings. Write in to our email address, radioblaststudio@gmail.com.
Yeah, we have many more in Italian than anybody who speaks Italian. But we do have a few things in English, too. All right, so the Lord bless you. We love you. We pray for you.
Amen.
I hope to hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you.
Write in if you have any questions. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.